And now, from the Daytona Beach News Journal.
And he is a lap away from the checkered flag in the Daytona 500.
The voice of NASCAR.
Austin Dillon wins the 60th running of the Great American Race.
Daytona Motor Miles with Ken Willis and Godwin Kelly.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Godwin Kelly.
You kind of sound like Carol Channing there, which is timely because she just left us.
Yes. Poor Carol has departed.
It's a good run, though.
That was a good run she had. You know, when you're known for something all your life.
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad thing if it's a good thing.
And you're 97.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If it's not a bad thing you're known for, then it's a good thing to be known for that the rest of your life. So anyway, I'm Godwin Kelly, and over here in lieu of Ken Willis is Zach Dean, the angriest young old man in America. I always get that wrong.
He did again, but I think they get the picture.
Okay. So anyway, he is filling in for us today, and today is chilly day.
It is chilly, literally outside and upstairs in the break room.
Yeah, we had chilly day today before we came into the tiny 6th Street studio.
Yeah.
So we're all trying to speed through this podcast as fast as we can. On the hit list today,
wow,
we're going to talk about Chase Elliott.
Really?
Yeah, he won another race, Zach.
Even in the off season.
Even in the off season.
I'm telling you what. After not winning 99 races, you can't stop him now, which is a lot of people said. Once he starts, you're not going to be able to stop that snowball.
Yep. And this is appropriate. We're going to talk about the Chili Bowl.
Hey.
Yeah. Yep. And then we also have some other meat products to discuss.
You see that
later on. We're going to talk about a concert that Watkins Glen's going to hold.
Okay.
And our green and white checkers today, we have a special guest.
Really?
Yes.
Who is it? Chase Elliott?
Even better.
Okay, let's hear it.
Haley Dunk Deegan.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I almost got it. Haley Deegan.
That's it.
And she's a 17-year-old who won a K&N Pro Series race last year.
A lot of fun, too. I remember watching that race. That was a hell of a finish.
Yeah. So she's calling in. That'll be our green white checker segment.
She's familiar with the area too. She's a big Drive for Diversity girl. It's where she got her start down here. I'm pretty sure
you are on the ball, man.
And that's without even me reading your cheat sheet over here. How about that?
Okay, so we better get going here. Let's crank it up. All right, what do you know? This is one of your favorite subjects, talking about Chase Elliott.
Oh, he's so, the best.
What do you think about this news that he won this race? This is a very important race, by the way.
Yeah, this is the best-selling diecast of last season. You know, those little cars. Obviously, I collect diecasts. I have some 24s, both Chase Elliott and Jeff Gordon diecasts. So, says Chase Elliott's Napa. Napa number 9 was the number one selling diecast last year. Not surprising. Brought the 9 back, and he had the new Napa paint scheme. Chase Elliott's Watkins Glen winning car, the Sunoco car, was number... No, not Sunoco. Sun Energy.
Yeah.
Or I guess, is it Sunergy?
Yeah.
That's a great car. And that car will always be remembered for his first win car. So, you know, that... How pumped was Sunergy for him to win his first career race in that car?
That's just sponsor lucky right there.
No kidding. William Byron came in at number 3 with the Exalta. Chase Elliott's Hooters, number 4. Chase Elliott's Napa Dover, the Napa Dover win, number 6. And Chase Elliott's Mountain Dew, number 8. So Chase Elliott takes up, what, half the spots on this list?
Yes.
Alex Bowman's Nationwide's on there. No, I'm sure that's got nothing to do with Dale Jr. Jimmy Johnson's Lowe's. That's a collectible now because Lowe's is gone.
Right.
That's number 7. Larson's Credit One is 9. And then Kevin Harvick's Busch Beer. Well, that's one of my personal favorites. I'm a Busch guy.
Yeah.
Rounds out the top 10. So Chase Elliott. So it's basically this top 10 diecast from last year were all Hendrick guys plus Larson and Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
Funny.
Isn't that funny?
That is interesting. I mean, Hendrick can't win on a track, but they can win off the track, I guess.
So if you're looking for a metric of like who's the most favorite driver out there? I mean, money talks, man.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend the money to buy a diecast, that's an investment in your guy.
Now, I do think the William Byron and Alex Bowman's on here. I think the fact that William Byron was hopping in the 24 and they had a paint scheme that was awful similar to Jeff Gordon's back in the day, and obviously Bowman's was the exact same as Dale Jr.'s. I'm sure that's got a little bit to do with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was interesting analysis, Zach Dean.
Yeah. I mean, kind of slanted analysis because I'm kind of bitter because Chase Elliott was in all 10 spots. But,
yeah.
Hey, 5 out of 10. We're going to go get him this year, though, because I'm sure he's going to have some new paint schemes this year that we're going to get. We got to get the Little Caesars on there.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ones of his. The Kelly Blue Book's a good one. He's got some good ones we got to get on there.
I'm surprised Hooters didn't score higher, though.
Well, Hooters was 3. That's pretty good. I mean, there's not one of the Hooters girls isn't on the actual car, like an actual lifelike one. That probably, you know, Hooters was 4, but it was the 3rd. Well, the Napa one, I just feel like Napa's so ingrained in NASCAR and with Chase Elliott, and then to see it on the 9 car in its first return, it's gonna be tough to beat.
You know what? Now you brought up a good point about Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah,
that's kind of a tell because this is his last season in a car that he's raced for 17 years.
Yeah.
And he was, what, 8th on the list?
He was 7th, yeah.
7th.
Lowe's car.
Yeah, and that was the last time you're going to see that car.
Last time you'll ever see Lowe's on Jimmy Johnson's car.
Don't you think that's, you know, that should have been higher up on the list?
If you were smart, I'd get that. And then maybe right around when Jimmy Johnson's in the Hall of Fame, you go ahead and put that bad boy on eBay and see what you got going on for
I get
you.
A hold of Lionel.
Yeah.
The company, Lionel.
Order you a bunch of them.
And just get, like, 200 of them and then wait, just sit on them and then have little kids go to take them up to them during speed weeks to sign them.
Oh, I'd be the best. Do you know what my prediction is? I told you this in the office the other day. My prediction for this year, this time next year, Daniel Hemric is going to be on this list for one reason and one reason only, because he's bringing the 8 car back. And the same reason you see William Byron on this list and Alex Bowman on this list, it's going to be just like people. It's the first time it's been in the Cup Series since Earnhardt was in it, or since Earnhardt Jr., excuse me, full time. I will bet you anything, Hemric. You may not hear a peep out of him this year. Probably won't at RCR, but it's going to be on this list next year just because he's in the 8 car.
All right. So moving on, we still have to talk about the chili ball, man.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. So
I just had about 10 of them upstairs. So
yeah. So. What's the car count or the driver count right now? 355 drivers.
How many?
355 drivers from 33 states and 5 countries, and they're in Tulsa for the 33rd annual Lucas Oil Chili Bowl. And it's all those, dirt midget cars.
It's fun to watch. Yeah. I was watching some on Twitter last night. You want to talk about rate. My guess is that's what NASCAR wants their racing to be like. Just constant passing, constant side-by-side battles everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, look at the info there and tell me the NASCAR guys that have already qualified.
All right. I know that Larson's on there because he always is.
Right.
Oh my God, I don't have it. Where is it, Gene? Larson's, is it on the thing you gave me? I know Larson's on there.
Yeah.
Here it is. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Larson, Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, J.J. Yaley, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chase Briscoe, Landon Castle, Skinny Jeans Castle, Alex Bowman, Casey Kane, Ball of Fire, and Tanner Berryhill. I'm glad you threw Tanner Berryhill a bone on that one.
There you go. So anyway,
Larson and Bell, I feel like always do well at these deals. They've been linked together all offseason, it seems like. They've been going everywhere together.
Yeah. How
is Christopher Bell not in a Cup Series yet? That's a name I'm surprised has not made the jump yet, because maybe there's just not a ride yet for him.
Well, because
he's
only,
next.
There's only so many rides, and the guys that get rides here lately are guys that have the financing with them.
He was the best. He was by head and shoulders the best Xfinity driver last year.
Yeah. Well, he needs to get buddy-buddy with a CEO of some big corporation.
Well, he's in the – he's in the Joe Gibbs farm system. Am I correct on that? Is he a Kyle Busch guy, Kyle Busch Motorsports guy?
I believe you're right.
Well, I believe he is in that Toyota, but – you never know. If Kurt Busch leaves next year in the one car and has a spot open, maybe Chip Ganassi says, oh, my God, I could have Larson and Christopher Bell. He'd be set for the next 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the plan.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to move on.
Cool.
Oscar Mayer.
Wiener?
Yes. Oscar Mayer is coming back into the sport as a sponsor for Roush Fenway Racing. And one thing that has always got me excited was when the Wienermobile would show up. Have you ever seen the Wienermobile?
I don't know if I've seen it in person, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I think they've got six of them.
Is it coming back now?
I want to see the Wienermobile make a lap at Daytona.
Oh, that'd be, I don't know. Can it survive the high bankings? I'm not sure aerodynamically it may not just roll down.
Well, they could, you know, you can stay on the apron,
yeah,
you know, if necessary. But I mean, that's actually, it's all joking aside, it's actually a good thing because, you know, NASCAR needs sponsorship.
Don't
and
know,
Oscar Mayer is a big brand, so having them coming back is...
when was the last time they were with us?
Oh.
With us, with NASCAR. Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. While.
Yeah. It's been a while since, we've seen that Wienermobile.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's good news for Roush. That's good news for NASCAR. And that's good for hot dog lovers everywhere.
Well, it's a good news for NASCAR because it brings in money, which I believe once we transition segments here, we're going to talk about the not so good news in the NASCAR
right.
front.
Yeah. So let's.
And unfortunately, you will get that in Big Time Auto Racing.
Yeah. Let's make that jump right now. We're going to leave What Do You Know and go to the next segment. You'll get that in Big Time Auto Racing.
Especially in the past couple of years.
Yeah. So usually we try to maintain an upbeat atmosphere around here in the 6th Street studio.
Well, I'm very positive. I'm sure you've taken that.
But last week or earlier this week.
I think it was last week.
The NASCAR announced a layoff of 5% of its employees. Now, the thing is, we don't, since NASCAR is a private company, we don't know exactly how many employees they have.
They don't have to tell us.
Yeah. So 5% could be limited or it could be major.
Yeah.
So we're 10.
They only have 30 employees, 5%. Yeah. We're in trouble.
That's what I'm saying. That percentage thing can be tricky.
Yeah.
So at last count, they thought, you know, the guesstimate was 50 people.
Yeah.
From all areas. NASCAR has marketing, PR, competition, executive.
They're all over the place. Right down the road. That big, nice class building.
So apparently every department in NASCAR took a little hit.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, in these days and times, it's not unusual for businesses to do a layoff here and there, you know. Just depending on the balance sheet.
You think NASCAR will hire Pockris to come in and do the work of 50 people now?
If I was NASCAR, that's exactly what I'd do.
Yeah.
Just have the Pockris machine.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd just sit there for 12 hours and just crank out stuff. Bob Pockris, by the way, is still with ESPN.
Not for much longer.
Not much longer, but he's been with them for several years, and he's done an outstanding job.
Born and bred at the Daytona Beach News Journal, though.
Yep. He got his pedigree here at the News Journal, and he's become one of the top hard news reporters in our business
in
today.
In NASCAR, I'd say Pockris is probably it. Don't you?
Hard news.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be funny like, you know, well, there's not a lot of funny people in NASCAR anymore. but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, anyway, Godspeed, Bob Pockris. We know that you're going to land on your feet.
Oh, I don't think he'll miss any races this year.
All right. So, we're moving on.
Are we? What's next?
Well, you don't remember this because you weren't born yet, but 50 years ago, there was this thing called Woodstock.
I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I've heard horror stories.
It was crazy because It was a music festival in New York, and
I'm sure you went. It wasn't new.
It wasn't. You know, there was no internet back then.
Chris Bridges, our producer, it seems like something that's right down your alley. Well, what perfect 4-year old? You got to start young. But if you were like 24, you probably would have gone.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a music festival. There was no internet. They didn't do TV ads. They didn't do radio ads.
No Pandora back then.
And somehow or another, which is amazing to me, they estimate 1 million people showed up on this farm to listen to the music. And it's just crazy.
I couldn't imagine. I don't like concerts with 3,000 people. I couldn't imagine 1 million people.
So
God, it must have smelled bad.
So, Watkins Glen International, which is a big old road course in the general vicinity of where Woodstock was, they've raised their hand. They're going to host the 50th anniversary Woodstock Festival.
Really?
Yeah. What can go wrong there?
Yeah, it seems. Well, so are they going to hold it during race weekend? August 16th through 18th. Yeah, must be. Holy moly.
So anyway, go online, get the real details. we're just mentioning it in passing. So
well, what could go wrong when you combine Woodstock anniversary and NASCAR fans? That'd be fun.
And keg after keg of Busch Light.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to end. You'll get that in Big Time Auto Racing by talking about Jeff Gordon. We can't stop talking about Jeff Gordon.
You didn't put that on my sheet. What does Jeff Gordon get to do with it? Oh, his big extension?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's the best.
So Jeff Gordon is 47 years old. He's been out of racing since, what, 3 years?
15, yeah. Actually, we're going on, his last year is end of 2015, so we're going on. This is Chase Elliott's fourth year. My God, that's shocking.
So just like last month, maybe within the last 6 weeks, Rick Hendrick said that Jeff Gordon would be his replacement as the leader of Hendrick Motorsports. And Rick Hendrick must be in pretty good shape because Jeff Gordon has announced that he's
going... No health issues.
Yeah, he's going back to Fox Sports in a multi-year deal. And so we still have Jeff Gordon on race day for the Daytona 500.
I'm a little surprised because I feel like we've heard rumblings for a while now that this is just kind of a temporary holdover until the Hendrick job opened up. But maybe Hendrick isn't going anywhere. I don't know Hendrick's got to be in his 70s. Is it saying in here?
No.
But he's got to be in his 70s, right?
Well, he's getting close.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think Gordon does a nice job in the booth. People don't like him and Waltrip together. I actually like them. I've always been more of a Fox broadcast guy than NBC, although I thought NBC did a really good job this year, obviously, with Junior coming in. I thought NBC did a nice job as well. But I've always liked those three, Mike Joy, Darrell Waltrip, who's about 95 years old now, and Jeff Gordon. I've always liked the Fox presentation. So I think it's a good move.
Good. All right.
Of course, we all know I'm a Hendrick guy, so it's going to be tough to convince me otherwise. Or Hendrick or the soon-to-be-called Gordon Motorsports, I assume.
Hendrick Gordon. Gordon Warren. Yeah,
that sounds good. I think that'll work.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time to move on to Green White Checkers.
Oh, this is it. This is the big interview, isn't it? Are you nervous? Yeah.
So, Green White Checkers. Today is we got a phone in from rising NASCAR star Haley Deegan,
who's way more popular than me on Twitter. Sure we'll find out.
So we had a nice Zach Dean and I had a very nice little chat with Haley, and here you go. And before I turn it over to the conversation, just want to say thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back next week like normal.
Rolex week next week.
Yes.
Big week.
Yeah,
the unofficial start of speed.
We're going to talk Rolex a lot more next week because they're going to be in town.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to have to hide behind garbage cans out there, you know, because we're not going to ignore them.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, here it is, our interview with Haley Deegan. Okay, so on the phone right now with us is Haley Deegan, up-and-coming star of NASCAR.
No
Can I say that? Are you embarrassed to hear it that way, Haley?
Hey, we're working on it. A lot of work to go ahead, but sure, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, I know she was a star because a couple months ago, back in October, when I was over at, I think it was New Smyrna Speedway, talking to some of the up-and-comers for the Drive for Diversity over they had at the Speedway, a lot of them were talking about Haley Deegan. I think it was right after you won your race. It was right around that same time. So I think star's becoming an appropriate term for you.
Yeah.
Did they take...
Oh, yes. It was all good things, and it was all there was quite a bit of females there on the track, and I was talking to them between testing and whatnot, and yes, Haley Deegan was a very popular name, so I thought that was pretty cool.
So, Haley, you're going to run during Speed Weeks in the K&N race here?
Yes.
Okay. So, the New Smyrna Speedway, which is about 10 miles south of Daytona Speedway, is where people learn to race. And if you prove yourself at New Smyrna Speedway, the next stop is Daytona Speedway.
Yeah.
And I think.
That's
kind of.
I was going to say, it's a little bit bigger at Daytona.
A little bit. But you're focused, you're completely focused on the race at New Smyrna Speedway right now.
Yeah, that's kind of like where my goal is set right now, racing the K&N car at New Smyrna. I'm working on trying to get a late model there for Speed Week since I'll be there that whole week doing stuff. So we're still working on that deal, but hopefully I'll be able to do that, just being in the seat as much as possible, getting ready for the K&N race and the whole season coming up.
Okay, now in this bio information that I've got, it says that you're going to be racing in the K&N West Series this year.
Yeah.
Is that just because, you know, this will expose you to different tracks rather than running the East again?
Yeah, so I actually raced in the K&N West Series last year with a partial East schedule. I'll be doing the same schedule this year. I think that going to those tracks I go to on the West Coast is a little closer to home for me in California. And in the end, I feel like it's just as competitive, especially this year coming up with the teams changing, stuff moving around. The tracks we go to on the East Coast are pretty much close to the West Coast tracks, and plus I get to go to the bigger tracks on the East Coast for the few East races I do.
Okay. And so we know you're running the K&N. And you don't have to announce anything, but do you have other plans, wink, wink, for the season? Wink, wink, wink.
I mean, we're working on stuff at the moment, but nothing set in stone now. But hopefully we'll have something coming up in the next couple weeks.
Okay. All right.
I saw something on Twitter. Wasn't there something on Twitter yesterday about you making some sort of announcement? Am I misremembering that, or am I right on that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
See, she has gone through media coaching classes already. She's a pro.
Exactly. So, you know, we're still in the age, and I really hate to say this, but, you know, having a female that's performing at a high level in motorsports is still news. And I'm in my 60s now. Zach, what are you, 17 or 18?
Yeah, right.
I'm
25.
Yeah,
rarely do I, when we have people on the show or anybody involved with this podcast, am I older than somebody?
Yeah.
But I am. I'm 25, and I'm actually older than somebody, finally.
So all these years, I've you know, seen women drivers come up, and they just haven't, you know, reached the summit. All right. Is that your goal, is to be that first woman to have the complete breakthrough in racing?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely my end goal. I think that I really don't know. Like, I ask myself sometimes, like, why no other girls made it, and, like, what's going to go into having me make it in this whole NASCAR career in the NASCAR world. But it's going to be a long road ahead. I'm still in K&N. We still got trucks, Xfinity, and hopefully one day Cup.
All right. And are you going to, I know you're going to be in the K&N race at New Smyrna, but are you going to be doing any kind of autograph sessions or anything while you're in town here?
Yeah, so actually at the K&N race, they have autograph sessions. I'll be doing tons of media stuff that whole 2 weeks. I'll be there for 2 weeks starting from the beginning of Speed Week. till after the Daytona 500. So I'll be there for quite a while doing stuff.
Haley, you're 17. Do you go to school? I mean, how does that work?
I graduated when I was 16.
Wow. So you graduated from high school when you were 16?
Yeah. So I ended up, I stopped going to school and started homeschooling in seventh grade.
Gotcha.
And I just, because I like doing stuff at a faster pace.
Yeah.
Than most people did at going to a regular school. And so I just did my work quicker than normal. I never took any summers off, never took any breaks off, and I ended up finishing 2 years early.
Wow. Well, I mean, some people, I have two brothers who are homeschooled, and I never did the whole homeschooling thing, but you're right. It's got to be, I mean, you've got to be a certain type of person to be able to pull that off. And I guess if you're as dedicated to go to where you want to go, it's maybe something that you have to do is maybe get at your own pace, you know, get that schooling out of the way so you can focus on racing. I would imagine it's a year-round deal for you, isn't it, racing?
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, the off-season is definitely a little slower, but once the race season kicks up, and that's, I'd say, 9 months out of the year, it's definitely a long year, and it is a lot of work throughout the year, but I love it. I love traveling everywhere. I love racing every weekend.
So I talked to, this is Godwin Kelly again, that was Zach Dean, the youngster.
Are our voices that similar where she can't decipher our different voices?
Yeah, because I sound young.
Well, I was going to say, who sounds younger, me or Godwin?
She's not going to answer that. But I had an interview with a quarter midget racer that lives locally, a 13-year-old girl, and just out of the blue, she brought your name up. And I'm like, well, why did you talk about her? And so the 13-year-old says, well, I look up to Haley. And so I'm wondering if you're aware of that, like that you have a kind of a following of these girls that are younger than you, and they're keeping their eye on you.
Yeah, that's definitely really cool to hear, because a lot of that stuff doesn't get back to me a lot, like when they mention my name. But it's definitely cool seeing girls come up in the racing world, and all these little girls starting to race, especially when they look up to me, because I just want to be a good figure and a good influence to look up to in my racing career of how hard I want to work and push myself.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, for your own benefit, how do people follow you on social media?
You know what's funny? I'm looking at her Twitter right now. She's got 23,000 followers, and we're struggling to get like 2,000 here. So I need her.
My Twitter is my weaker one. I'm struggling on Twitter.
Are you serious? I would love to be struggling on Twitter with 23,000. That'd be awesome. I'd kill for that.
Okay, so on Twitter, all the other social platforms, give us a rundown on how people can follow you.
All my accounts are just at Haley Deegan. My name's spelled a little differently than most other Haleys. It's H-A-I-L-I-E, and then just my last name, Deegan. And that's on Instagram. I don't really use Snapchat that much. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat a little bit.
What's your favorite one? Because I'm like a Twitter guy.
Instagram, by far.
Really? Okay, because everybody likes Instagram, and I can't get into the Instagram. I don't know. I'm not great at taking pictures. I don't look at something and think, oh, I have to take a picture of this. But some like I feel like Instagram's the most popular one.
Yeah, Instagram's the West Coast thing, I feel like.
Oh,
it's
so
kind
it's a
of
Cali
the
thing.
More California type social media, and Twitter's more on the East Coast.
All right.
Okay, so just for your benefit, I'm at Godwin Kelly, and Zach is at Zach Dean NJ.
No, it's Zach Dean DBNJ. Don't worry, I'm going to go quote one of your tweets right now and talk about how little followers I have.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, even though Zach is verified.
I am verified. I don't know how I got verified with so little followers, but I did get verified.
He
so
got verified before they shut the door on that. So,
yeah,
so
I'm good to go.
Anyway, we really appreciate you calling in today to our little podcast on the 6th Street Studio. I'm anxious to meet you now that we've talked. Zach and I will be at Speed Weeks all week, and we'll make sure to come find you to introduce ourselves. But good luck this season, and thanks again for joining us today at the Daytona Motor Mouths.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sure I'll see you guys in New Smyrna.
All right. See you in a few weeks.
Thank you very much. We'll see you later.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit
DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.